ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Pitu. Text 12. The Lord's continuing to speak. Ninnasya Lingasya Guna Pravaha Dravya Priya Karaka Chetana Atmanaha Dristasu Sampatsu Vipatsu Surayaha Na Vikriyante Mayi Bhatta Sorida Vinasya Lingasya Guna Pravaho Dravya Priya Karaka Chetanatmanah Tristasu Sampatsu Vipatsu Surayo Navi kriyante mayi baddha sorida Vinasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriya karaka chetanatmanah Tristasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navi kriyante mayi baddha sohrida Vinasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriya karaka chetanatmanah Dristasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navi kriyante mayi baddha sorida Nasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmanah Tasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navi kriyante mayi baddha sohrida Any other taker from the guy's side? No? You're not up for it yet, huh? Okay, go ahead. Dinasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriya karaka chetanatmanah Tristasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navi kriyante mayi baddha sorida Vinasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriya karaka chetanatmanah Tristasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo navikriyante vaibaddha surida vinasya different lingasya of the body guna of the three modes of material nature pravaha the constant change drovya physical elements kriya activities of the senses karaka demigods chetana and the mind atmanaha consisting of Vistasu, when experienced, Sampatsu, happiness, Vipatsu, distress, Surayaha, those who are advanced in knowledge, Na, never, Vikriyante, become disturbed. Mayi, unto me, Baddha-sauhriddha, bound in friendship. Translation, Lord Vishnu told King Prithu, my dear king, the constant change of this material world is due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature. The five elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul, all these taken together comprise the body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, my devotee, who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The question may be raised that if the living entity has to act as the superintendent of the activities of the bodily combination, then how can he be indifferent to the activities of the body? This is from the last text, right? Anyone who knows that this material body made of the five gross elements, the sense organs, the working senses, and the mind is simply supervised by the fixed soul is eligible to be liberated from the material bondage. So, anyway, you're still superintending it. So, how can you be completely indifferent to what's happening? That's the question. That's a relevant question, I think. Huh? The answer is given here. These activities are completely different from the activities of the spirit soul of the living entity. A crude example can be given in this connection. A businessman riding in a motor car sits in the car, supervises its running, and advises the driver. He knows how much gasoline is used up, and he knows everything about the car, but still, he is apart from the car and is more concerned with his business. Even while riding in the car, he thinks of his business and his office. He has no connection with the car, although he is sitting there. As the businessman is always absorbed in thoughts of his business, so the living entity can be absorbed in thoughts of rendering loving service to the Lord. Then it will be possible to remain separate from the activities of the material body. This position of neutrality can be possible only for a devotee. the word Baddha Sohriddaha, bound in friendship, is particularly used here. Karmis, Gyanis, and Yogis cannot be bound in devotional service. Karmis fully engage in the activities of the body. Their aim of life is to give comfort to the body only. Gyanis try to get out of entanglement by philosophical speculation, but they have no standing in the liberated position, because they do not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. They fall down from the exalted position of Brahman realization. Yogis also have a bodily concept of life. They think that they can achieve something spiritual by exercising the body through dharana, asana, pranayama, and so on. A devotee's position is always transcendental because of his intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, to remain always aloof from the actions and reactions of the body and engage in one's real occupation, namely rendering service to the Lord, can be possible only for devotees. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanga Swaminiti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharani Ivishesha Sunyavari Paschacha Deve Sitarani Om Mangyanam Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Saksuru Militam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpat-vibhyascha-tetva-sindhu-bhyeva-cha-patita-nam-bhava-nebhyo-vaishnavebhyo-namo-namaha. So this continues the idea of what the Lord is telling Prithu about, some idea of what it means to be transcendental. One is situated in a body. The body is deha. And one who's situated in the body is called Dehi. Dehi no sminyata dehe. Dehi, the embodied. So that means the soul, the embodied soul. Dehi, one who's situated in the body. You can make a vegetarian rest and call it Dehi Deli. Dehi Deli. People don't know if it's a delicatessen or it has to do with New Delhi, but anyway, it's for the deities, huh? There are those who are embodied. So, so you're in the body, and the body makes noise. More than makes noise, you have to supervise it. So, how is it possible? Now, in the previous purport, Prabhupada given a point. These are examples from our material experience. Now, when you take an example from the material experience, that's just an example. When it comes to the transcendental position of samadhi, it'll be better than that. He says in the previous purport, when a man is absorbed in a particular thought, he does not hear or see any external activities, even though they are enacted in his presence. So this is a fact. We call this sometimes spaced out. In other words, you're thinking of something very intensely, and you forget what's going on around you. It doesn't affect you. Or I've had this experience. Say you have a very bad headache. If suddenly, even though you have a bad headache and you're really conscious of the pain, something happens outside. Say you hear the squeal of brakes and the crunch of metal, so there's an automobile accident, and immediately your mind goes to that and you run out to see what happens. Then you'll notice that while you were paying attention to the squeal of the brakes and the hitting of the cars together, you weren't feeling your headache pain. As soon as you lost interest again, all the pain is there. So it wasn't exactly that the pain went away, but just because you became so
suddenly interested in something else that you simply didn't notice it anymore. You simply didn't notice it anymore. So this is on the material platform, that if somebody somehow or other can be completely absorbed in something and takes all their attention, then even if they're undergoing some physical difficulty, it goes away. And we see this, that sometimes mathematicians or musicians or whatever like that, they can lose themselves. Right? Go into a state. It's just like ecstasy. Ecstasis. Ecstasy comes from a Latin word that means out of your body or out of your situation. Yeah? Yeah. So here there's another example. What is the body? First of all, he says, the body has already been described, the soul has been described kutastha. It's steady. But all around, everything is changing. So, first of all, the environment, the differences, the changes in the body, the changes in the world, is all due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature. Energy is flowing around because passion, goodness, ignorance, passion, goodness, ignorance are ruling everything. That's the first part. Then he describes the body, the five elements. This is this word dravya. Dravya means material substances. Dravya shakti, the energy of the Lord that produces material things. So the elements, meaning here the five: earth, water, fire, air, ether. Dravya. The shakti. Kriya, the activity of the senses. Kriya shakti. The sensual activities. Kriya. Karaka means here the demigods who rule the senses. Because actually a body is composed of all the different instrumentalities. And those instrumentalities are actually under the control of demigods. There's a demigod that's described for the hands and for the eyes and for the mouth and for the tongue and all the functions. So there's a demigod for each one of these. So every time you move your hand, actually, there's a whole invisible controlling system that you don't see that's making this happen. Those are the demigods. They're actually part of the bodily system. So our body is wired in to the controlling system of the universe in a way that right now we don't understand. As well as the mind, chetana, which is agitated by the spirit soul. Sometimes when the material elements are listed, citta or consciousness is part of it, but that means contaminated consciousness. The actual spirit, the real consciousness is spiritual, but the consciousness that's manifested and involved with distracted by the activities of the body, that's also sometimes considered one of the elements of sankhya. So this proverb says here, mind which is agitated by the spirit soul. This is the body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from the combination of the gross and subtle material bodies, my devotee who's connected with me in intense friendship and affection. See, this is at the end of the thing. Mayi baddha sovidda. Unto me, baddha means bound. Baddha sometimes is used for a conditioned soul, bound by the mode of material nature. But baddha, sovidda, in friendship or affection. Suhrit, this is from the word suhrit. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. I am the well-wishing friend Sukrit and all living entities. Sukrit means what? Good heart, huh? So this, in this in close intimacy, boundless in close intimacy, because he is not affected, dristasu sampatsu vipatsu, by the experience of happiness and distress in this material world. Actually, there may be happiness and distress, but still the devotee is not affected. There's a difference between pain and suffering, for example. So if a devotee is not affected, that doesn't mean that they're numb. Pleasure and pain will come into the body and come into the senses. So if you take, so pain is a sensation that we feel. Suffering is our reaction to that pain. It's possible to feel pain and not suffer. Pleasure is another bodily state, or maybe at least we call it a mental state. Mind perceives certain sensations, and I don't know, I've got this factor about it that makes them attractive. We call it pleasure. It's possible to feel pain and not suffer. It's also possible to feel pleasure and not enjoy. You're just neutral to both of them. And actually, you see them as the same. The state of detachment. You actually see them as the same. Actually, it's true there that they're two sides of the same coin. As soon as you try to enjoy the pleasure, you have to suffer the pain. It is not you can just take this side and not the other side. They're two sides of the same coin. Once you accept the pleasure, then you have to accept the pain. So it's a duality. The duality, they go together. So one is free from the duality. Here in this example, the crude example Prabhupada gives is an elaboration of the previous purport, where he said if you're absorbed in a particular idea, you don't notice your surroundings. So the body is the yantra. It's like a machine. And actually, the spirit soul has always been compared to the passenger in the body. It's never the driver, actually. It's always in the back seat with a chauffeur, with a driver up front. Or when it's a chariot, it's someone else has the reins, the intelligence. So actually, he's kind of passive. So we're talking about a businessman in an automobile who Prabhupada said is absorbed in the thought of his business. Now he knows about the car. He's aware of what the gas gauge is. He's aware of how long the trip will be. But he's absorbed in the business. Nowadays, he'll have a cell phone. He'll actually be doing business, right? He'll be talking on the cell phone. Then he'll have his laptop in the seat. And he'll have the spreadsheets or whatever out there, and he'll be completely... he'll completely be absorbed in the business while his limousine is crawling at 8 miles an hour through the downtown traffic, getting him to the office. And so he knows about the car. He supervises it. He makes sure the oil has been changed. He has somebody. At least he makes sure there's somebody competent taking care of it. And then he can forget about it. Even he has no connection with the car, although he's sitting there. So similarly, here the recommendation is
one becomes absorbed in service of Krishna, similarly, one becomes not indifferent to the activities of the body. Now, this is something of an example. Like, if the car breaks down, the businessman is very distressed. How can I get to my office? Because he depends upon it. But actually, a devotee, at least at an advanced stage, doesn't depend upon the body. Actually, doesn't depend upon the body. It may be that if my hands stop working, I may not be able to do some particular service. But every service that is done with the body can also be done mentally, for example, and ultimately on the spiritual platform, because the spirit soul is equipped with all senses, really. And as one advances in Krishna consciousness, the senses of the soul become manifest or active. We activate them. Right now, the senses, the sensory powers that originally reside in the soul are now expressed in the material body and not expressed in the soul. The soul is like packed up. And so but when one engages in the service of Krishna, that engagement takes place on the spiritual platform, and so then the actual spiritual senses become activated. So therefore, a devotee in an advanced stage is serving the Lord in two forms, called a siddha deha and sadhika deha. Sadhika deha means my form as a devotee. Just like Rupa Goswami. Sadhika deha means Rupa Goswami. Siddha deha, Rupa Manjari. The gopi. In Chaitanya Leela, he's a sadhaka, devotee. And in Gaura Leela, he's a gopi. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's a Rati Manjari, gopi also. And in both bodies, is serving the Lord in the way that's appropriate. They're serving. They have written songs and poems about what they're doing in their siddha deha, in their sadhika deha. Raghunath Das Goswami is circumambulating Govardhan Hill, offering obeisances of thousands of times a day, chanting so many rounds of japa like that. That's one way. Anyway, their activities could go on completely without, even though the material body grows old and dies and all those things like that. There's no disturbance to the activities of a devotee. So this is because of this being bound in friendship, being close to Krishna. This is makes it very, otherwise it's difficult. If you're just a jnani, you're trying to get away from the body, but you don't know where else to go, your situation is a bit more difficult. Or a yogi, actually he has to pay attention to the body more. Only in these very advanced stages can he actually get away from the body and the mind. Otherwise, it's his whole concentration is on the body and on the mind. So this is very difficult. Here's this verse, Prabhupada. Refers to, we know this verse, it's a famous verse, because they do not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall down from the exalted position of Brahman realization. You know this verse? Yin ye aravindaksha vimuktamanya, yin ye aravindaksha vimuktamanya. Prabhupada quotes this many times. This is in the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna, who's in the womb. They come and they offer very nice prayers. This is one. Yin ye, those who, Aravindaksha, O lotus eye Lord,
vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavad abhishuddha buddhayaha aruhya sutraina parampadam tattaha patanti yado nadvista yushmat angrayaha.
There are those, or there are other people, the previous verses have explained how those people who take shelter of your feet cross over to the other side of material existence. So then the question may be there, what about those who don't, who are seeking liberation, but who don't take advantage of your lotus feet, which in the previous verses compared to a boat, that you get aboard and go across the ocean of material existence. So these people who don't do this, they vimukti maninaha. They're vimukti. Vimukti means they're liberated, but maninaha, according to their own judgment, they think themselves liberated. They're liberated, but only in their own minds. We used to have, there was a slogan at one time that was used very much in Hollywood movies and advertising, called some perfume. I remember seeing it advertised, and some cologne for men, actually. Women were supposed to buy it for their husbands or boyfriends. Make him a legend. You know, legend means like a hero. Make him a legend in his own time. This is the phrase. He's a legend in his own time. You know, even in your own time, people are telling stories. You know, like they tell about Arjuna or something. Make him a legend in his own time. And then someone made a joke about that. Oh yeah, he's a legend in his own mind. People become great, but they're great in their own mind. You know, there's vimukti mind. They're liberated, but only they're good. They're advanced, but only in their own minds. Arivindaksha is describing the Lord as having lotus eyes. Arivindaksha. Vimukti man tvayi astabhavat. They speculate in various ways. But abhishuddha buddhaya, their intelligence is abhishuddha. It means not pure. They're still not purified. What happens to them? Arushya krichchena parampadam tatha pathanti adaha. So they have worked very hard. Krichtra means very hard work. Arushya krichchena. They have risen high by their hard work, parampadam, to whatever they think is the supreme position. Tata pat, but they fall down. Patanti. Patanti means they fall down from that position. Anadita yushmat angraya, because they have neglected. Anadita, your angraya, your feet, your lovely feet. Angri means foot. Or root, actually. You know the name for a tree in Sanskrit? Angripa. It drinks through the foot. So tree root is called somehow also angri. Angripa. I mean, Tibeti, they drink. Drinking. Angripa. Yeah, so the Lord's feet, they neglected his feet, so this was where they fall down. Even you go up to the point of Brahman realization, as Prabhupada said, they have achieved here. They fall down from the exalted position of Brahman realization. Why? Because they have no shelter, or no, Prabhupada, as he puts it, no standing in the liberated position. You sort of floating in the liberated position, but you've no shelter, so you've kind of risen away, you've detached yourself from material conditions, but you have no place else to take shelter of. Then you come back down. Patanti, they fall down again.
Prabhupada says in the purport, aside of this is 10.232, aside from devotees, there are many others, non-devotees, known as karmis, jnanis, or yogis, philanthropists, altruists, politicians, impersonalists, and voidists. There are many varieties of non-devotees who have their respective ways of liberation. Simply because they do not know the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, although they falsely think that they have been liberated and elevated to the highest position, they fall down. And then Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 9.3, Ashraddha dana purusha dharmas yasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara bhartmane. This is a nice verse, huh? Those persons who are not faithful in this path, ashraddha dana dharmasya, in the ninth chapter, so he's described this dharma Rajavidya, Rajagusham. He's describing this path. He says, those who ashadadamna purusha dharmasya dharmasyasya parantapaha aprapyam mam, they do not attain me. Aprapya, prapya means they've got aprapyam mam, they do not attain me. And nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani, they return again, mrityu samsara vartmani, they're on the path, the vartma, the path of mrityu samsara, death, and over again, repeated birth and death in the material world. Prabhupada says, it doesn't matter whether one is a karmi, jnani, yogi, philanthropist, politician, keep missing politicians. They also have their parampadam, as we shall see, their highest office, or whatever. If one has no love for the lotus feet of the Lord, one falls down. There are persons who advocate accepting any process, and who say that whatever process one accepts, it will lead to the same goal. That's so much, that's so much there. They say in a certain mission, huh? But that is refuted in this verse, where such persons are referred to as vimuktamaninaha, signifying that although they think they have attained the highest perfection, in fact they have not. Liberated in their own minds. In the present day, big politicians, this is where you mentioned the politicians, all over the world think that by scheming they can occupy the highest political post, that of president or prime minister. But we actually see that even in this life, such big prime ministers, presidents, and other politicians, because of being non-devotees, fall down. Patanti adaha. Just like Vajpayee just lost his office. Maybe even President Bush may not last. The first President Bush, after he had this war in Iraq, and then after the war he was elected out of office. And so Saddam Hussein, and I see I'm still in office and he's gone, so I won. So now the son is trying to get him out, but he may also not stay in office. And then Prabhupada remarks, to become president or prime minister is not easy. One must work very hard. That's the second line, arusha pitrena. There, by very hard work, one crawls up to the claws your way. We say you claw your way to the top. Fingernails, you're climbing up this steep slope. One must work very hard to achieve the post. And even though one may reach his goal, at any moment he may be kicked down by material nature.
In human society, there have been many instances in which great, exalted politicians have fallen from government and become lost in historical oblivion.
Who's that? Oh, yeah.
Churchill, right? Wasn't he some famous guy? They forget. The cause of this is Avishuddha Buddhayaha. Their intelligence is impure.
One thing that Prabhupada many times points out, that to achieve something material, you have to work very hard. Like these politicians or great artists, anything, to do anything very well, you have to work hard. So, but what do you get? Something temporary. That it will last no longer than your last lifetime. So the same hard work applied to Krishna consciousness will get a permanent result. So why should you work so hard for nothing?
The Shastra says, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Prabhupada quotes this often, it's from 7531 in the Bhagavatam. They do not know that the swartha gatim, the goal of their self-interest, swartha, your own self-interest, gatim, the goal, is Vishnu. So Prabhupada says, real self-interest is Vishnu. In other words, who is the self with a capital S? Is Vishnu. They don't know this. One achieves the perfection of life by becoming a devotee of Vishnu, but people do not know this. So, and then Prabhupada goes on, and he talks about taking shelter of the Lord. At night, no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore, the word Aravindaksha is significant. Name for Krishna, he has lotus eyes. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness, exactly like one who cannot see a lotus. One who has not come to the point of seeing the lotus eyes and transcendental form of Shyama Sundara is a failure. Whoa. Premanjana Chorita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. That's a quote from Brahma Samhita. Those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love, premanjana chariti bhakti vilochanena. Actually, what it says is their vilochana, their eyes, have been just like you see that people put this kajal or ointment in their eyes. This is called anjana. It's premanjana. Anjana. Gyananjana. We have that song, Gyananjana Shalakaya. We say that the spiritual master who with a shalaka. Shalaka means like a little spatula, it's a medical instrument, ophthalmological instrument for putting ointment in the eye, like a eye doctor will take this little shalaka, this stick. We say he's opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. That's to make it simple to understand. But what he really says, he has put into my eyes with the shalaka, this stick, this little flat, with this flat end, this anjana of jnana, jnananjana, this ointment. Yeah, ointment is the right word, yeah, I guess the ointment of knowledge, huh? Like this sticky stuff. You know how they do it? So your eye has got some disease, so you need some medicine in it, so they put this what's the other word? Anyway, the greasy stuff is ointment. Huh? Goes in the eyes like that. Gyananjana. But this is premanjana. The anjana of prema has gone into the eyes and
Those people who have this eyes, that have this premanjana, they see. Always see, actually. Sadaiva. Vilokayanti. Santa. Sadaiva. Vilokayanti. Hridayeshu. In their heart. The real eye is in the spiritual eye, the eye of the soul. They see in their heart. Chaimang Chibanga Lalita, the threefold bending form, Achincha Guna Swarupam, with inconceivable transcendental qualities. They always see. So, that's what he says.
Those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love always see the Lord's lotus eyes and lotus feet, but others cannot see the Lord's beauty and are therefore classified as Anadvista Yushmat Angaiha, the last words of that verse. Neglectful of the feet of, neglectful of the Lord's personal form.
Then Prabhupada says, those who neglect the Lord's form are surely failures on every path of life, but if one develops even a little love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is liberated without difficulty. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. Prabhupada quotes that one for that. Even a little advancement in this path can save one from the greatest danger.
Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends in Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto Madhyayima Namaste. Simply think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer some slight, some slight homage unto me. Simply by this process, one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead and thus achieve the highest, highest perfection. So this is the point. So that is the answer, how it is that if one simply becomes absorbed in thought of the Lord, one has a standpoint in spiritual engagement, and the more one becomes absorbed in that way, the more one is really, you don't care, not attached to the course of material world. We know what the future is. Everybody knows. This body, you know, maybe well, people are worried about the future of the global warming. Maybe the world will be destroyed. When will there be pralaya, devastation? You know, people are worried about devastations, like war is a devastation, or economic collapse is a devastation. People are not worried about that. That actually, America has now borrowed so much money. You know, they're cutting taxes but fighting this war, so the national debt is increasing. And so they're describing this as a, very soon there'll be some economic devastation because of this. So they're worried about devastation. But anyway, the death of the body is also called pralaya. For the person who's in the body, the whole world might as well end. because it's the same thing. So the pralaya is coming for everybody. You don't have to, you know, consult an astrologer or try to figure out the trends or read the scripture. Even the pralaya will come. So the worst will happen, whatever the reward. If one is situated. Prabhupada also discusses in this purport, he mentioned this from the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that if you're situated in this position, one is not disturbed. Yam labva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tataha. You achieve this, you think there's no greater gain, but then not disturbed in the midst of greatest difficulty. Even the worst happens, not disturbed. Not disturbed. Because there's no investment in this world. Once you put your investment in this world or in this body,
definitely will be this way. Oh, I'm being wiped out. You know, just like you have money in the stock market, and the stock market falls, you know, you see the guys are throwing themselves off of the building. But if you have no money in the stock market, what do you care? You have no investor. Yeah? The stock market can fall all at once. You're liberated from that fear. Huh? If you have no investment in the material world, what do you care? You're immune from all these troubles. Any questions? Yeah? No, in a sense, there is only one path for all human beings. It's the nothing done. But people only understand it in different ways according to their mentality. It's mentioned that when Krishna comes, he teaches that one thing. Just like in the Vedas, there's only one thing. Vedaisya sarva ahameva vedya. All the Vedas has come to the point of Krishna. But still, the Vedas are kalpavriksha. There's so many different fruits you can get. Why? Why so much, even within the Vedic culture, so much variety? Because we see Krishna, even in the 11th canto, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, just surrender to me. You can't do that, then follow the regular principle of devotional service. You can't do that, then work for me. You can't do that, then become a charitable person. So in one sense, is all the path, but people are situated in different places on this path. You take a Muslim. What's the meaning of this word, al-Islam? It means submission. Submission to what? To the will of God. To the order of God. There's no problem with that. But maybe the understanding of what God wants is not always so clear to people. They only accept so much. Somebody who's following the order of the Karmakanda, the order of the Vedas, he surrenders somewhat. But actually, there's more. No, they can't. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met some Pathans. That means people from Afghanistan, actually. Pashtuns, they call them Pashtuns now. He met some Pathans. They're Muslim. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And using the Quran, he made them devotees of Krishna. Just from quoting from the Quran, that's what it says. It
doesn't say what he quoted.
But somehow or other, if you know where to look, it's in there. It's in there. I mean, here's the Vedic literature. How do we know about pure devotional service? Because The six Goswamis look at all these scriptures. And what do they say? Well, here's Karma Kanda, here's Jnana Kanda, here's Bhakti, here's Karma, here's Jnana, here's Bhakti. There are some places they're all tied together. So let's take it out, here's pure Bhakti. And they distinguished it from Karma and Jnana. Here we have many Puranas, but here's this one Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this is Amalam Puranam. Otherwise, you can have your prana and you can, you know, you can be doing all kinds of horrible things on the basis of, you know, this prana, that prana. Because some puranas are for those in the mode of goodness, some puranas are for those people in the mode of passion, and some puranas for those who are in the mode of ignorance. You don't want to read those. Either. So you have to have mahajana yena gatasya pamsa, because shrute yonadina, the scriptures are divided. So how will you know what to do? Mahajana yena gatasya, you have to follow in the footsteps of the mahajana. Somebody has to come like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. Now, here's our shastra. How do we understand this shastra? So what the six Goswamis did for the Vedas, we follow the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to do not only for the Vedas, for the Buddhist scriptures, the Christian scriptures, the Jain scriptures, the Muslim scriptures, to show them, here's bhakti, here's karma, here's jnana. Now, this is the difference, and here's what they're actually teaching. Same principle is there. It's already been done with the Vedas. But Prabhupada he's already also remarked in different places that the Bible is also Veda. The Quran is also Veda. Yeah. Because Krishna says that this, you know, everyone follows my path. In Bhagavad Gita, how does it go in Sanskrit? If you come to me that way. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're in that particular mode. But at least somehow there's some system for gradual advancement in these people. But the Narada Muni says better not to do these things. He says better you should use, that's why he said you should give Bhagavatam. You've taught this karma kanda stuff and the various path of restricted sense gratification. Narada Muni said to Vyasa, but people will simply take the license and they'll forget the restrictions. This is what will happen. Yeah, you can see. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.